Pastor Rick Warren says that every word Jesus spoke was important and has life-changing power. There are seven words in particular that Jesus spoke during his final hours on the cross that hold the keys for finding fulfillment in your life, relationships, and even your career. Thanks for joining us here today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue in a series called The Seven Greatest Words of Love. Before we get started, we want to let you know that a very generous friend of the broadcast is offering a $5,000 matching grant for listeners giving a gift to Daily Hope for the very first time. So please, go to PastorRick.com right now to support Daily Hope. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called The Word of Victory.
When Jesus died on the cross and he said these three words, "It is finished," he was announcing five benefits to you. The first one, he fulfilled what God had promised us. He fulfilled all the scripture, all the prophecies, all of the promises. Number two, this is a big one. He satisfied what God's justice required. He satisfied what God's justice required. Now, let me explain this to you. God is a God of justice. He is eminently fair. God cannot be unfair. God is a God of justice and truth and righteousness and holiness and always does what's right and can never do what's wrong. So God is a God of justice, and God is a God of order, and God is a God of laws, and God is a God of fairness. Now, the only reason the universe works is because that's God's nature. God wired the universe to run on certain laws. There are laws of physics. God designed them all. There are laws in astronomy. There are laws in chemistry. There are laws in the environment. There are physical laws. There's the law of gravity. How about if the law of gravity just worked every other day? And it was totally unreliable. God's laws always work all the time. And so God designed the entire universe so that rotations work and gravities work and the laws of thermodynamics work. All of God's laws are immutable. Now, there are laws of physics, as I said. There are physical laws. There are spiritual laws. There are moral laws. And there are relational laws. God is a God of justice and law. Now, God gave the moral laws to Moses and to the nation of Israel, to the Jews. And the Jews were to take the moral laws and share them with everybody else. You've heard the phrase that the Jews are God's chosen people. It's true. What were they chosen to do? They were chosen to be the purveyors or the ambassadors of God's moral law to everybody else, those of us who are not Jews. That's what they were chosen to do. To take the word of God and to take the truth of God and to pass on the laws of God to everybody else. Now, human beings, you and I, we have two problems with the laws of God. Number one, we are completely unable to keep them all. Okay, we just can't keep them all. In fact, here's what the Bible says, Romans chapter 8. The law of Moses could not save us because our sinful nature. But God put into effect a different plan. This is like a plan B. God put into effect a different plan to save us. He sent his own son in a human body like ours, except that ours are sinful. And God destroyed sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. That's what he was doing on the cross. He did this so that the requirement of the law would be fully accomplished, finished, satisfied, completed. For us, who no longer follow our own sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit, is what the rest of that verse says. Now, Jesus is the only person in human history who ever kept all of God's law perfectly. because he was the Son of God. Now, the first problem we have is that we're completely unable to keep all of God's laws. The second problem we've got is this. Justice demands that lawbreakers pay the consequences. You don't have laws, and then if you break them, nothing happens. There are certain laws. There are laws of sleep. If you don't get enough sleep, your body pays for it. There are laws. If you don't exercise, your body pays for it. If you eat the wrong foods, your body pays for it. You are free on this planet to do anything you want to. God gives you that freedom, but you are not free from the consequences. I'm free to go out, get drunk, cause accidents, blow up buildings, steal things, live a totally licentious, self-centered life, and I'm free to do that. God gives me that freedom. He does not give me the freedom from the consequences of it. And every kick has a kickback, and there is a payoff. And justice demands that lawbreakers pay a penalty. So God is a just God, but he's also a loving God. And Jesus did for us what God's justice and God's law required. Look at the next verses. Look at this verse on the screen. After Jesus had finished his work, what's the work he's talking about? That work on the cross, dying for our sins. After Jesus had finished his work on the cross, he became the source of eternal salvation for who? For everybody. Everybody who obeys him. It doesn't matter what your background is, doesn't matter what your culture is, doesn't matter what your religion is, doesn't matter what your personality is, your sex is, doesn't matter. He says it's for salvation is for everybody who obeys him, who accepts what he did for him. Look at the next verse in your outline, Romans 10:4. Christ ended the law so that everyone who believes in him may be right with God. Now, circle that phrase, ended the law. Did you know that's what God did when he let Jesus die on the cross? He ended the law. Now, wait a minute. You say, wait a minute. Does that mean I don't have to keep the Ten Commandments anymore? No, that's not what that means. Let me explain. Now, I want you to listen really closely because the world gets this wrong all the time. There are three kinds of law in the Bible. There's legal law for the nation of Israel. There's ceremonial law for the worship of Israel, and there's moral law for everybody in the whole world, okay? There are legal laws in the book, in the Old Testament books that are for the nation of Israel. You're not obligated to fulfill those laws. You're not a Jew, you don't live in Israel, and you weren't living in the time where there's the theocracy of God being the king of Israel. You're not obligated. And then there's ceremonial rules. In the book of Leviticus, anybody ever read that book? Okay, there's some strange rules in there. Okay, rules of hygiene, rules of health, rules of the kind of clothes you're supposed to wear, rules the way you're supposed to do worship in the temple and all that. That was the ceremonial law for the nation of Israel. You're not obligated to keep those. You're not an Israeli, and you're not under that system. God ended that system. He ended that system. Now, the moral laws are still in effect. You can't murder, you can't lie, you can't commit adultery. Those are the big ones. And those are always in effect. And what happens is people will come up to you and say, well, what about the law that says da-da-da-da-da-da? And you say, well, that's a ceremonial law. Well, that's a national law. It's not a moral law. And it doesn't have the same effect as the laws that are to keep on. Jesus ended the old system. He just says it right there. He ended the law so everyone who believes in him may be right with God. Here it is in the nutshell. Look at the next verse, Romans 5:18. Here it is in a nutshell. Just as one person did it wrong and got us into all this trouble with sin and death, that guy was called Adam, by the way, paradise was lost. Another person did it right and got us out of it. By the way, his name is Jesus. But more than just getting out of us out of trouble, he got us into life. What did Jesus finish on the cross? He fulfilled all the promises and he satisfied God's justice that was required. Number three, this is an even bigger one. He paid off the debt that I owed God. When Jesus finished dying for me on the cross, he paid off the debt that I owe God. Now, you have a lot of debt in your life, and I'm not just talking about your financial debts. You owe something to everybody you've ever hurt, you've ever offended, you've ever sinned against. You owe them something because you've taken away something from them by offending them, hurting them, sinning against them. But you're even in deeper debt to God because everything you have is a gift from God. And many times you've been ungrateful, you've been unthankful, you've been rebellious, you've done your own thing, you've basically, you know, said, forget you, God, and did whatever you wanted to do. You've gone with your plan instead of God's plan. You've done the, when God said, do this, you've done the exact opposite. You're in deep, deep, deep debt to God. Here's what the Bible says, Colossians chapter 2. We owed a debt because we've broken God's laws. And that debt lists all the rules that we failed to follow. But here's the good news. God forgave our debt and he canceled our debt by nailing it to the cross. Circle the word cancel. This is the third thing Jesus did when he says, it is finished. He's saying, I've paid off your debt. It's paid in full. You don't have to pay it anymore yourself. You don't have to nail yourself to the cross. I took that punishment for you. I've canceled your debts. Now, can you imagine waking up on Monday and getting a call from a Visa credit cards or American Express or MasterCard? They called and said, you know what? We've just decided to wipe your slate clean. We're going to eliminate all your debt on all your credit cards. We're just going to wipe it out, and we're just going to start over. Would anybody like that? Yeah. Well, that's exactly what Jesus Christ did for you when he cried on the cross. It is finished. I've paid all your debt. Tetelestai, paid in full. Like that stamp, paid in full. The bill's been paid off. The sentence has been served, and I've paid your debt financially, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. I did it all for you. Colossians 1, verse 14 says, God's Son paid the price to free us. Which means, and that's like bail. No, maybe more than bail, because you don't have to go to court. God's paid the price to free us, which meant that our sins are forgiven. And which of your sins are forgiven? Every one of them. Every single blasted one of them, even the ones you haven't committed yet. I remember years ago, Kay and I went on vacation, and we stayed in a hotel somewhere, I don't remember where it was, and somebody recognized me. And I remember when we went down to check out, I went up to the clerk to check out, and the attendant said, "Oh, your bill's been paid off." I said, "What?" And the guy said, "Oh," I said, "Oh, I've taken care of that." I looked at this guy; I didn't know him from Adam. I said, "You are my new best friend." Okay, and who are you? And why did you do this? And we got to know each other. He said, "I've taken care of your bill, and I just paid it off." That's exactly what Jesus Christ did for you. Look at this verse on the screen. Now that our sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifices. Now leave that verse up there on the screen for a minute. Let me explain this. In the Old Testament, the sacrificial system was the way that people said they were sorry for their sins. And there were sacrifices made. And the Bible says, now that Jesus Christ has died on the cross, there is no need to offer any more sacrifices because Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice for everything you've ever done wrong. Now, let me explain this, an implication of it. Some of our friends, some of you right here in our church, are Christians who believe about the second coming that for before Jesus Christ can come back, that a temple has to be built in Jerusalem and the sacrificial system restarted before Jesus can come back. But the Bible just said there's no need for any more sacrifice, so that's irrelevant. There is no need for the temple to be built because the sacrifice has already been made. There will never again be a need for sacrifices in the temple in Jerusalem. Never, 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 never again. It doesn't have to happen. Why? Because the Bible says Jesus was the sacrifice, and there will never, ever again be any need for any other sacrifice. Now, some of you have felt guilty over something you've done wrong, and you believe God has forgiven you, but you haven't really felt God has forgiven you, and you keep trying to pay off your sin. Maybe if I go on a peace trip, That'll pay off my sin. Maybe if I go to church, that'll pay off my sin. Maybe if I tithe, then I can get rid of this guilt. And you're trying to pay off your sin when it's already been paid for. That's good news. That is good news. The sacrifice was final, it was complete, and it is finished. Tetelestai. There will never be anything else you could ever, ever do to pay for your sins, because it's already all been paid for. No need to try to keep repaying for your mistakes. I remember one time reading about a lady who was an elderly woman, and she went to her insurance company, and she walked in and said, "How can we help you, ma'am?" She said, "Well, my husband died 5 years ago, and I can't afford to keep paying his insurance, life insurance premiums. I just can't afford to do it anymore." And I said, "Ma'am, you don't need to. It's been paid off. It's done. And now you get to benefit from it. He died. And because he died, you are now going to benefit from his death. You don't have to pay anything anymore." And that's what Jesus did for you. Now, there's one other use of the word tetelestai that I didn't mention, and that it was often used as a battle cry. And in war, when armies would go to battle and they had won the battle and they had completely defeated the enemy, the soldiers would shout, "Tetelestai, it's done. We're finished. It's paid in full. We won. It's all ours." And these are the last two meanings of this in your life. Number four, the fourth thing that happened when Jesus said it is finished was he defeated the fear of death. He defeated the fear of death. Now, this is a universal fear. Nobody is exempt from it. Everybody has some fear of death. But Jesus broke that power, and this was a battle cry. It was a shout of a victorious conqueror when he says, "I have defeated death. And I have proved to you, you don't have to be afraid of it, because I'm going to come back to life. And if I am the resurrection, you can be resurrected in believing in me. Death is not the end, and you don't need to fear it anymore." A couple verses. Romans 5:17. "The sin of one man, Adam, caused the death to rule over all of us. But all who receive God's wonderful, gracious gift of righteousness will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ." Triumph over sin and death. Look at the next verse, Hebrews chapter 2, 14, 15. "Jesus became flesh and blood by being born in human form. For only as a human being could he die. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. And only in this way," how Jesus died on the cross, "could he deliver those," set us free, "deliver those," that's you and me, "who have lived all their lives as slaves to the fear of dying." I don't have to be afraid of death anymore. I'm not afraid of death. I can honestly say I'm afraid of pain, but I am not afraid of death. Because death is just a transfer, and I know where I'm going. And I know I'm supposed to be there, not here forever. And I'm looking forward to being there, since more and more of my friends and parents and relatives are there. And he breaks the fear of death. He defeats the fear of death when he says, "It is finished." By the way, do you know what is the symbol of this? That you don't have to fear death? It's baptism. Baptism, in the Bible, every time you see the word baptism used, it's used to refer to a burial and a resurrection. The Bible says in baptism, we're buried with Christ, and in baptism, we're raised with Christ, which is why we do it the way they did it in the Bible. We don't sprinkle water. We don't pour on water. We do it the way that they did it with Jesus, because it's a picture of a death, a burial, and a resurrection. Every time the word baptism is used in the Bible, it refers, in fact, the word means to put underwater, baptizo. And so just as Jesus Christ died, was buried in the ground 3 days, and rose again and broke the power of death, and we don't have to be afraid of death anymore because we know you can be resurrected from it. Jesus died, was buried 3 days, rose again, that, you know, I take you or one of our pastors takes you, puts you under the water, leaves you there 3 days. Raises you, I'm just seeing if you're listening, raises you up again. And that is a symbol that I have died to my old way of life. All my sins are forgiven. They're washed away, they're forgiven, they're wiped out. And I'm being raised to live a brand new life. And I don't have to fear death.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so thankful that you've chosen to spend some time with us. We pray God uses this teaching from Pastor Rick to help you discover more deeply the hope that a relationship with Jesus Christ provides in every area of your life. Right now, a generous friend of the broadcast is offering a $5,000 matching grant for listeners giving a gift to Daily Hope for the very first time. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
Hi, everybody. Thanks so much for listening today. You know, my hope is that God uses this broadcast to help deepen your relationship with Jesus. Now, these Daily Hope messages are distributed on radio stations and digital platforms all across the globe. And listeners are writing and letting us know that their lives are being changed. They're telling us that they're walking with Jesus and that guilt and fear has been chased from their lives by God's love. You know, relationships are being restored and marriages are being healed. And many people are saying that they found their life purpose. I want to say thank you to you because we're only able to carry the hope of Jesus to these people all around the world because of gifts from generous listeners like you. I just wanted to say I am so grateful for those of you who have consistently given throughout this past year. And I can't thank you enough for your prayers and your financial support. Now, I understand in times like these, many of you are unable to give financial support. Hear it from me. That's okay. Because I never want anybody to give unless God leads them to give. That's between you and God, not between you and me, but between you and God. And your prayers are a continual and incredible contribution to this Daily Hope ministry. Now, if you do want to give a financial gift, I've got some really great news to share with you. There's a generous friend of Daily Hope Broadcast who is offering to match the amount of your very first gift. In other words, if you give $20, then that person has combined it with a grant to make your gift $40. Your first gift will be double, up to $5,000 to go twice as far. Now, if you've never given a gift to Daily Hope, I want you to pray about partnering with us so that together we can continue to share the hope of Jesus throughout the whole world. I love you so much.
If you've never given a gift to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope before, we would love for you to make your first donation today. And when you do this, we'll say thanks by sending you a copy of the 7 Greatest Words of Love DVD Study Kit. Just go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. And if you've got a smartphone or tablet, just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program has been sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.